Okay, so we're continuing here in Simon Kuf Tzadi Vav, and what we're going to discuss today is a couple of issues. First of all, the Tliya during the first 3 days of Shemini Kiyum. So there is a Gevaldika Shach over here, but in order to get to that Shach, we first need to see like what all the background is. You know, when you learn Basar B'Cholov and Taroves, like the Shach Sivkat Nid Gimel, it's like, you know, that's what every shach is like in Yoredeya. You know, so that's why you need so much time for to learn Yoredeya properly. But anyway, so in order to get the shach, it's first important to see what the Rama has to say and what the Rama is based on. So the Rama here in Suf Yud says that we are not tola in the first 3 days of Shemini Kiyum, even though we have all of our kulos of ksamin, we have the four kulos, we have tliyos, and we have pachs mikugris and begadim savodim and dvarim shein mekabim tuma. But one of these four doesn't work during the first 3 days of Shiva Nikiyim, unless it's a Makkah Hiyudua Shemotzi Dam, unless that you know that it's not just a clear, a reasonable explanation of where the Dam could have come from, but you know that this Makkah is being Motzi Dam. But when it comes to Pachos Mikugris, that for sure will be Makel, says the Rama. So where does this come from? So Bir Gra and Sivkatan Chav Ches, if you look in the Bir Gra Chav Ches, because she still hasn't left her chazaka, the chazaka that she's bleeding. So even though she sort of has left that chazaka of bleeding because she did have siktara, so as we've seen, this chazaka sort of goes away in stages. It's not like an absolute. There's a cheskas tuma, there's a cheskas mesulekas dam, so it goes away in stages. So he says, what's the raya that there's anything to 3 days? I mean, I would have thought that there are two stages. There's hefsiktara, that tells you she's no longer bleeding. Then there's tevila b'mikvah, that tells you she's b'cheskas tahar. And until that, she's not b'cheskas tahar. And anywhere in between shouldn't make an ounce of difference. So says the Gra, ayin perek alef tezavim masnisen beiz umodim baroa v'taymo shodei shamei deshlosh yom chayshinu letzichtzuchi ziva misveika ukmo sham b'negoim perek heidin negoim perek dalet taras b'tchila. So the Gra, Kedarka Bakodesh, is very brief in his comment, but what he's trying to tell us is that there's a Mishnah in Zavim that seems to be the basis of this halacha. The Mishnah Masechah Zavim tells us, Haroa Keri Biyoma Shlishi Lisvira Zovo, talking about not a Zava, but a Zav. A man is a Zav, and he needs his Shiva Nikiyim. And on day 3 of his 7 days, he sees Keri. He becomes a Bal Keri. So he's Motzi Shichvas Zera. Beishamei Omrim Sosa Shnei Yomim Shalafanav, Beisulam Lo Sosa El Yomom. So Beishamei says he's going to have to start counting all over again. It's going to be Sosa everything. Beisulam says, no, that day isn't going to count, but he can continue counting with day 3 on day 4, meaning just the day that he's Roa Keri is not going to count. We didn't do it yet, but this is similar to Poleta Shechvazara, that if a woman is Poleta Shechvazara, she's like a Baal Keri in the sense that that day won't count. It's one of the days of Shemini Kiyum, but it's not Soser, the previous counts. So that's what Beis Hillel says. Lo Soser El Yomo. Rabbi Shmuel Amar Haroa B'Sheni Soser Shalafan. Rabbi Kiva Amar Echara B'Sheni V'Echara Rabbi Shlishi. Shebei Shami Amar Soser Shneyam Shalafan. Beis Hillel Lo Soser El Yomo. Here it is. Umod and Baro B'Revi'i Shalo Soser El Yomo Baro Keri. But both Bisham and Beisul agree that if the Zav sees on day 4 he sees Keri, then even Bisham is going to agree that it's not going to be Sosa the previous count. What's going on? If being Roa Keri is Sosa Shivanakiyim, why should it only be Sosa Shivanakiyim in the first 3 days and not in the 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th day? And if it's not Sosa Shivanakiyim, then it shouldn't be Sosa in the first 3 days either. So what's the sheet of Beis Shammai over here? Why is Beis Shammai going to be Moda after day 3? So says the Gra, the pshat in that Mishnah is that it's not the Keri per se that's going to be Soser. Being Roa Keri, the halacha is very clear. Keri is not going to be Soser Shevinikim. You can't count that day. That day won't be a Naki. But it's not Soser Shevinikim. What the concern of Beis Shammai was that together with that Keri, there are Tzuchtzuchei Ziva. There's some little droplets of Ziva that might be coming out together with the Keri. Ah, first 3 days, Beis Shammai is concerned with Tzuchei Ziva. But if you already have 3 consecutive clean days where nothing has come out, so now you're becheskas that the Ziva is over, so then you're not going to be concerned about Tzuchei Ziva. So that's the idea. That's the what the Gra is trying to say, that you see that you treat the first 3 days more stringently, in the sense that you're more cautious about the pre-existing tumah continuing in to the first 3 days of Shiva Nikiyah.
Just to clarify, when we say carry, we're talking about a seminal emission. But yes. When we say tichtuchei ziva, we're talking about some.
Talking about something else, disease, right? So zav is a disease. We're not sure. We don't have it anymore. We're not sure exactly what it is. But yeah, but that's what it is.
She has hefsetara. In the case of zav, he doesn't have any sort of hefsetara, no.
He doesn't do, obviously, so B'dikas Chorin is stuck in, right.
Right, so she's out of the Cheskos Tumah when she doesn't have
sin. Right, so, but, okay, so obviously we're creating a third category over here. I mean, what we're trying to say is that there's one category of your Chazaka that Hefsek Tara, that it's over. Then you have Cheskos Tahara, which is once you go to the mikvah. So what we're saying over here is, to what extent we are bothered by red flags, so to speak. No pun intended with the red. But to what extent we're bothered when there's something that that catches our attention. So up until 3 days, we're going to say, look, I normally would have assumed that it's over because there was half sektara, or just because of your person's in Shiva Nikiyah. But now that I see that there's something, I'm going to have to be concerned about it. So we're not going to rely on Tlios. The unwillingness to rely on Tlios, says the Gra, is based on that Mishnah. Now, it's not an exact match. First of all, like you're saying right now, that it's there's no Hefsek Tara here, but even more fundamentally, why is it not an exact match? Well, it's Zav versus Zava. It's a similar enough kind of Tuma. But we're not talking about Tlios over there. And it's Shitas Beishamai. Right? She's Bishilil, she's Bishamai. So what the Gra is doing, he's trying to find he's pointing out with the Rishonim that mentioned this idea, there's this model, there's this notion that 3 days, first 3 days are different than the rest. You may remember when we discussed Maros of Dam, that many poskim have the attitude that in the first 3 days we have to treat Maros more stringently. Oh, Agav, we had I got to sit in on a Rosh Yeshiva meeting, which is always fun, today during lunch. And so I got an opportunity to hack Rabbi Neuberger, which also, Rabbi Neuberger comes in a few minutes late, there are no seats, so he's standing eating, so I get up, so he will not sit on my seat, so he's sitting on the arm of another chair. I'm like, I will not sit there, you can absolutely, but he wouldn't take anyone's seat. He's like an unbelievable on up. It's like, anyway, so we finally convinced him that there was an empty seat somewhere. So I asked Rabbi Neuberger when he can do Maros. So he said for the next 3 weeks on Thursday, he's still doing fourth year Halacha L'maisa, but during that fourth year Halacha L'maisa slot, which I realize now is maybe not great for the fourth year Halacha L'maisa guys, but during that fourth year Halacha L'maisa slot on the Thursdays after the next 3 Thursdays, he said, we'll pencil it in. So we have it penciled in, which I would mean we're going to have to adjust a lot of things. We're going to have to, on those days, we're going to have to adjust when Shir is and how to figure it all out. Maybe we'll have some more Chazara days. I don't know. We'll figure it all out. Based on the number of guys that have taken the third Vechina, it seems that there needs to be a few more Chazara days. But we'll have to figure that all out. Okay. Why did I mention that? I don't remember. But yeah, so this is what we were talking about, Maros, right? That the first 3 days, some poskim are more machmir when it comes to Maros of Dam. So Rabbi Sablowski explains that, why is it though that it's only about Taliyah, right? And this is really the pashas of the Dark Emotion, when you look at Dark Emotion. Why is it that we're not machmir also on Pachas Mikagris, and on Gadim Tzvonim, and Shenim Mekab Tuma? Why is it only, of all the four kulas, why is it only Taliyah that we're making with? And he points out that there's a fundamental difference between a Taliyah and the other three kulas. The other three are not a function of probability. They just simply were not included in Gzeres Ksavim. Whereas Taliyah is a function of probability. Taliyah is different. You can't rely on a probability of it not being a problem when it's so close to it being a problem, when it's just the first 3 days since it's been a problem. But something that's just simply not part of the Gzeir of Ksamim, like Pachs Migris, That's a different story. Now that's somewhat of a chiddush. You know, first of all, why is Bigdei Tzivonim not Mekabel Ksanim? So we discussed. It might be based on the probability that it's not blood, because you can't see that it's blood. So it could be that it's not blood. But that does seem to be, though, what Rabbi Sablovsky says, does seem pretty clearly to be the explanation of the Ramah himself. In Darkei Moshe, in Os Dalet, he writes, he quotes the Mordechai, im soferes toch shiva yamim nikiyim mistavra mishlosha yamim ve'elach haksamim tahorim im yeshlutos b'maka o b'chabura o b'tzipor ve'eno soferes aval tzricha leida b'vadei shepasak dama marka legamri lekach tzarek shiyu shlosha yam harishonim shal sferes nikiyim tahorim legamri. I mean, you need to know that it has really stopped bleeding, and the first 3 days the chances are that it didn't come from somewhere else. It came from continuation of the bleeding. However, if you look in Pesachei Tshuva and some Kuft Sadi Sivkan Chav Beis, he holds that we're machmir bebigdei tzivonim during the first 3 days as well. That he carries this over to bigdei tzivonim as well. Generally speaking, even to be machmir and tlios is a chumah. It's a chumrah that the Rama has, and we try to be machmir. It doesn't come up that often. Most of the time, when we have ksavim, tliyos aren't the issue, because how often do you have a kesem that comes up during the first 3 days of Shiva Nikiyin where a woman's not wearing tzivonim anyway? Right? That pischei tshuva would be a huge chumrah. But to be machmir like the Rama is pretty easy, because most of the ksavim are on big day tzivonim.
Isn't pischei tshuva in Sivkat
Yud Beis passing a chumrah on big day tzivonim? Over here.
Yeah.
Yeah, but do I have Kuf Tzadi here? Kuf Tzadi, unless I'm misquoting it. Let's see. Here's Pesachei Tshuva, Sivkan Chaf Beis. Tov Yishishu B'Gdisvon, B'Sefer Amud HaKesef K'Sav K'Sav B'Zer, Nir Dafna L'Rishon, V'Kedei L'Hatzim, V'Ein Nosim, V'Ein Nalo, V'Yesh Lomar, D'B'Gimel Yom Rishonim Ein Tolin, Ayin Shach, Sivkan Kuf Tzadi Vavs Ein Tolin. But it's on the words Bigdei Tzivonim. That's so strange, no? So I just read that as Ein Tolin, that the Dam came from somewhere else. You think he just means Taliyah? No, he means Bigdei Tzivonim, no? But over here he's saying in Sivkat and Yud Beis. Let's see.
The first line. He first goes through Davashin and Makabal Tuma, and then he just says.
Right.
It seems from his words near Pash Lahat, Yud Beis, and Sam Begat Tzivonim.
From the meal tzedakah.
Right.
I have a little lamed zayin here. What does that point me to? Ayin pischei tshuva le'elsim kuf tzadi sivkan chav beis. Yeah. Okay. So, meaning is all right. So pischei tshuva is quoting from different sources, but I think in kuf tzadi he doesn't mean tolin. He means bigdei tzivonim over there. Yeah. So lemaisa. At the end of the day, we're not going to be machmir like that anyway. So it's even better. We have a steer in the pischei tshuva himself. So it's not even. It's not going to be something that we would be machmir about. Now, if we accept that this is about probability, and that once the endometrial lining is shedding, it's most likely to continue for a few more days, so Rabbi Sablovsky does one of his some poskim, you know, like he likes to do, some poskim hold that if she were only tamei mishum kesem in the first place, or if she had her Shiva Nikiyim interrupted by a kesem, and now she's starting again, and that's why it's the first 3 days. Imagine she was on day 4 of Shiva Nikiyim, and then she saw a stain on something that was white, and it was bigger than a penny, and whatever, and they had to be machmir, so she had to start again. So in such a case, you can be told that even during the Gimel Yom Rishonim Shiva Nikiyim. Why? Because the whole started to say that Taliyah doesn't work during the first 3 days of Shiva Nikiyim, is that it must be a continuation of a Re'iyah. And but once we're 3 days past the Re'iyah, then there's not going to be an assumption of probability that anything that's that everything's going to be a continuation of the Re'iyah. There's no longer an assumption of probability, which is an interesting ha'ara. The Dagum Ravava writes, Vim sofera shiva nikiyim mishum kesem, v'lo ra'as adam klal, v'achshav begimel yom rishonim shel nikiyim matzo shuv kesem, Ein Ozer Simon Samach Gimel Beishmo, Eben Ezer Simon Samach Gimel Beishmo, Sivkatan Gimel, V'chein B'Nikim Shal Dam B'Sulim, Matzah Kesem B'Gimel Yom Rishonim, Ein Sham Beishmoel. So the Sam Poskim he's referring to is what the Dagum Ravava refers you to Beishmoel. Okay, so what does the Beis Shmuel say? So now you got to look up the Beis Shmuel. And it's Nebuchadnezzar, so you got to look up the Beis Shmuel. Meaning, Doug Ravava raises these possibilities that Rabbi Sambalovsky points out. So when he says some possibility, he didn't footnote it. Doug Ravava raised both of these possibilities, that if the whole thing is about a probability of a continuation of the dam, so if there's no Re'iyas dam to be continuing, or it's not within 3 days of a Re'iyah, you're only within 3 days of a Kesem, then you can be Mekel. But Dog Rav doesn't say anything. He just says, look in the Beis Shmuel. So the Beis Shmuel he refers to is in the Siman about the Be'ilas Mitzvah and the Bracha on Be'ilas Mitzvah. We discussed that. We discussed the Bracha on Be'ilas Mitzvah. What did we say?
We should do it.
What?
We should do it with Shema Malchus.
Shema Malchus, is that what we said? Yeah, so if I recall, we said that our practice in general is not to do it. I just got an email from a Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael asking what the minig in YU is with that. So anyway, so in that siman in Shulchan Aruch, that's where the Beis Shmuel is, and he proves that we're machmir even when she's only tamei mishum kesem, meaning the Beis Shmuel says, not like the sum poskim of Rabbi Sabalovsky. He brings a raya that we're machmir, even when she's only talking Mishum Kesem, based on the Trumas Hadasha, and Trumas Hadasha in Reish Mem Tes, the one that the Shach is done with, and that the Ramah is done with over here. The Trumas Hadasha says that a Kesem that's pachas mikagris, you're tolin b'machola safilu toch gimel yamein nekiim, that if it's less than a gris, even during the first 3 days, you could be tolin b'macholas. Dim lo kain, Ain shum isha yichol letar lebaila. They ain't the chassad and shein lechalav. You know, kamatipe dam or whatever. Right? There's always going to be the kesem of a macholas on everybody's sheet, so you have to be mekel on pachas migris. So says the Beis Shmuel that it's mashma the bal kesem ain't told begumi yom shonim im hayosim migris. That you wouldn't be mekel, that even though a person's tam mishum kesem, you're not going to be mekel if it's yosem migris. Va'odim lo kein, echas ve'en lecha ishud yichol letar li ba'la. Da b'pam sheinis, he balas kesem. Va'az hi yichol letzos ma'cholas. He says a very simple ha'ara. He says, what's the true mustachian sultana? No one's ever going to be able to be tahora. Why? Because there will always be ksamim that are pachos mikugris. And you can't be tola. You're not allowed to rely on talios in the first 3 days. And you're always going to be in the first 3 days because you'll always have ksamim. But if the sum poskim are correct, right, you're not always going to be in the first 3 days. The first 3 days means the first 3 days after a re'iyah. So all you have to do is wait out 3 days from after the re'iyah is over. And yeah, you might still be tameh because of ksamim. But then, the first 3 days after that, days 4, 5, and 6 can be your days 1, 2, and 3, and then you can be Tola. Elamai, from the fact that the Truma Session doesn't say that, he says, oh, no woman would ever be able to be Tahora. It must be that Gimel Yom Rishonim of a Balas Kesem also. You can't be Tola in the first 3 days, even if she's just a Balas Kesem. Well, then he suggests, the Beis Shmuel said, maybe the Truma Session was only referring to a woman who initially became tamei with a real re'iyah. But it would be different for a woman who initially became tamei with a kesem, or with a kala. But why? Meaning that doesn't mean what? Why make such a chiluk? Why do I care how she initially became tamei? Bottom line is, in the last 3 days, it's been, you know, she's more than 3 days past her re'iyah. Who cares how she initially became tamei? That re'iyah, we don't have any chazak of that re'iyah continuing anymore. So that's the Beis Shmuel that the Daglam Ravava refers to. Chachmas Adam is willing to be mekel if she became tamei from a nekuda ketana aduma ushchora. So lashon Chachmas Adam. Basically, what he's saying is, if it's so far from a flow, it's just like, you know, she became tamei. She did a bedika, and a dot came out on the bedika. One black dot, one red dot. So you can say that's a continuation of the shedding of the endometrial lining. There was no shedding, there was no lining, there was no nothing. It's Dil Margash of Lavadaita, or, you know, Hargasha Seid, or whatever, so we had to be Machmir. But you can't say that all the blood that's coming out later is a continuation of a dot. If she had a Re'iyas Dam, so you could say, other Dam that comes afterwards is a continuation of that Re'iyas Dam. So the Chachmas Adam is willing to be Mekel on that level. Furthermore, Taras HaShlamim and Siv Katan Yud Gimel points out that if she only bled for 2 days, so she's going to have to wait 5 days for Pleita Shechvazera, which we didn't learn about yet because we're going in the order of the Shulchan Aruch, not in the order of logic. But at the end of this siman, We have the issue of waiting the 5 days before you start counting your 7 days. So imagine a woman gets her period, but it's a very short period. She bleeds heavily for 2 days and then over. So she can't start counting her Shivanakiyim until 5 days are over. So it says the Torah Sashlamim, the 3 day count can start from when she actually stopped bleeding, provided that she did a bedika when she stopped bleeding. I mean, she has to, even though it's not going to count as Hafsik Tara, because we're machmir to not do Hafsik Tara at that point, but it can count to at least allow you to be tola on ksavim. I don't know why would anyone do that, right? Meaning, you know, it so rarely comes up that, you know, people would not do a bedika just for the benefit of being able to be tola on ksavim. But that's what the Torah Sashlam points out, that logically it would make sense. I mean, this has nothing to do with the first, essentially what he's saying is, and what we're getting from the Sam Poskim of Rav Sabalowski, and from the Chachma Sadam, is that this Chumr about the first 3 days of Shimon HaKim is not really about the first 3 days of Shimon HaKim. I mean, the better way to say it would be, this Chumr is about, what would you say, how would you say it? 3 days after Re'iyah. Right, it's not really about the first 3 days of Shimon HaKim. From the Beis Shmuel, it sounds like it is about the first 3 days of Shimon HaKim. So you have these counter indicators in terms of how to view this Chumr. So the Shach, which is Kedai to spend some time on, I mean, there's no way to do it unless you spend some time on it, the Shach in Sivkatan Yud Gimel has this very long piece where he disagrees with the Ramah. And he says that even a Makah Hayadua Shemotzi Dam is not enough during the first 3 days. It's not enough to be told during the first 3 days. Ramah was willing to be Mekel, that if you have a Makah that the doctor says, I know that this Makah is bleeding, so Makah Yadua Shemotzi Dam, the Ramah says, then we can rely on Tlios. Because the whole thing's only a Chumrah Bialma to begin with. Says the Shach, it's not such a crazy Chumrah to begin with. And therefore, even if it's a Makah Yadua Shemotzi Dam, says the Shach, I'm concerned about this. The only case the Shach is willing to be Mekel is if she has like this chronic bleeding problem that just won't stop. Why? What's the difference? It's just the difference of how big of a Shas Hedchak it is. If you have a Makah Yadua Shemotzi Dam, so, okay, wait till the Makah heals and everything will be fine. But if she has like this chronic problem, this Makah that just won't go away, she has some sort of condition, so it's not going to help to wait. You're going to wait and wait and wait, and she'll never be able to be Torah Labayla. The Shach points out that the Mordechai sounds like he's referring to every Makah without distinction, unlike what the Ramah said, to be Mechalik B'tin Yadua Shemotzi Dam and not Yadua. And he says, furthermore, we're not even Tola B'dam Tzipur, which is clear and present Dam. Meaning, says the Shach, I don't understand you, Ramah. You're going to tell me that I'm going to be Tola as long as the Makah bleeds, as long as it's a bleeding Makah. Why? Because then this blood could have, there could be blood here from the Makah. If you had Dam Tzipor there, you knew you had blood there. There was blood around. You had actual Dam Tzipor around. You're not going to be Tola. So you're going to be Tola on a Makah that might have caused this blood? I never saw any blood from the Makah. But Dam Tzipor, I actually saw blood. I know that there was blood. So that's where the Shach distinguishes. I forgot to mention, Badei Shulchan quotes Machlokes Achronim, in a case where she's already on day 4 when she found the kesem, but the tliya happened on day 3. Ooh, what are you tying them there? Right, so here's the case, right? Oh, what? Give me a case of a tliya. What's a classic tliya? What? Shuk shal tabachim, okay. So, good, we'll use that. It's easy to plug in over here. A woman goes to the bathroom. A woman comes over, she had a long day. She's running around, cooking dinner, whatever. Didn't have time to stop, didn't even have time to use the restroom. And after she feeds the kids and bathes them, put them all together, she can finally use the restroom. If this sounds unrealistic to you, wait, okay? I'm telling you, there are no busier people than young mothers in the 21st century. They are the busiest people on earth. So that's why, remember, we were discussing like with toilet paper and whatever. Like a man would never have a hava amina that a person would have toilet paper in their hand while they're still using while they're still actually doing their needs because they got to wipe really quickly to get out of there because there are a million other things to do, right? So she's crazy. Finally, she got home 3 hours ago. She could finally go to the bathroom. She goes to the bathroom and she sees a kesem in her underwear. She sees a stain. We're on a dress. Let's say shuk shel tabachim on a dress, right? Before the cotton, she's wearing just a flowing robe or burlap or whatever. I don't know. So she's so she finds a stain on her dress. Yeah. So she said, "Oh, but I was b'shuk shel tabachim today, and they were hacking the meat, and there was blood flying." She was b'shuk shel tabachim, but that was still day three. Now it's day four when she finds it. So what are you telling her? Can you be tova? Can you not be tova?
We come back to our shayla about what is a kesem. Is a kesem the riyas a kesem or that it's made on? Because then you could say that's enough kavina.
Right.
Is it about the Shas
Matzias? I think, did we mention this back then when we did it, when we were discussing with the Kesem Zol? So it's an interesting application of that, exactly. So on the one hand, relying on the Taliyah brings her, if she were to rely on the Taliyah, that brings her back into the 3 days when we don't rely on Taliyos. But on the other hand, she had emerged from day three, b'chas kasar. And it's only later that we're going to have to l'mafreya, make her no good. So that's what the Badei HaShulchan quotes, such a fascinating machlokas achronim. Yeah, not the most nice thing in the entire world, to put it mildly, but that's the discussion. Rabbi Sablovsky then quotes many poskim, unlike before where he quoted some poskim. He quotes many poskim are very makel about the entire issue. Why? Because it's a chumrah, it's not mentioned in the Gemara. It is in the Ramah, so we have to honor it. But he says, whenever you have anything to be mitzdarif with it, any sort of sniff to be mitzdarif with it, we are. Any other sveikos, tzadim lahakel, we're going to be mekel. Certainly, he says, if it's suffic, whether it was day three or day four. In that case, the Das Torah, Badei HaShulchan quotes the Das Torah of the Marsham, in Badei HaShulchan Birum quotes that you could be mekel, because it's at worst the suffix drabanan, but it's better than the suffix drabanan. It's a suffix chumrah on a kesem, which is drabanan to begin with. So the whole thing is like a chumrah gabe a drabanan or gabe a suffix. So then for sure you could be mekel. So like a bena shmasho situation, right? So then for sure you could be mekel on this chumrah. Okay, so that's as far as the first 3 days. Good. Any questions on that? Yeah. Okay, so bedikos during the day. Meaning we discussed doing bedikos during the Shemini Kiyum. We spoke about day one, day seven, day one or day seven, both, day in between. What if you forget them all, do day eight. But what we kept on talking about days. We didn't talk about nights at all. So the bedikos always have to be done during the day. So a little bit of background over here is in order. The Gemara in Pesachim Daf Pei, discusses the following. Quotes of Braisa, the Rabbi Yossi Omer, Shomeris yom keneged yom sheshachtu v'zorku ala b'sheni shala v'acha kachura asa eino cheles but upturu milasas pesach sheni. What happens? You have a shomeris yom keneged yom zava katana. So she first saw Adam on the 13th day of Nisan. Now on the 14th day of Nisan they got to bring the Karm Pesach, but she needs to make sure she doesn't see Adam on the 14th day of Nisan, and then she's tovelis and she's tahora. Problem is, so in the morning of the 14th day of Nisan, they open up to the fifth parak of Pesach. What time can we bring the Karm Pesach? So they follow along. They bring Karm Pesach exactly when they're supposed to bring it, depending whether it's Erev Shabbos or not, whatever the whole Inyan. So she goes and she brings Karm Pesach, or they bring her chabura brings a Karm Pesach, and then she bleeds. So she bleeds again. Now she's going to be Temeya on the Seder night, right? So says Rabbi Yossi, she can't eat the Karm Pesach, she can be Betuma, but she doesn't need Pesach Sheni, which is an interesting, doesn't need Pesach Sheni, that means that her Karm Pesach counted, that she wasn't really Betuma. So the Gemara explains, my taima, lav mishum de meratze tzitz, says Gemara, maybe the tzitz is meratze for such tuma, so I'm ilom, mishum de kasav Rabbi Yossi, mikanu lahabahi tmeya. Whoa. Rabbi Yossi holds that when a woman becomes Temeya, when a woman sees Dam on day two, after she already saw Dam yesterday, she sees Dam again today in Yimei Ziva, the Dam she sees today is not a continuation of yesterday's Dam. This morning she woke up, she went to the mikveh, she's Tahora, clean bill of Tahara. Her Karm Pesach counts, 100%. Later that day, she bleeds again, it's a new Tumah. She's Shomeres Yom Kineged Yom on account of a new tumah, brand new tumah. That's what the Gemara says. Mikana la ba'itmeya. Why? Because Miktsas Yom Kekula. When they brought the carbon, she already had a Miktsas Yom B'tahara. So that was it. That's Miktsas Yom Kekula. She was Shomeres a Yom, a halachic Yom, because even 5 minutes is a halachic Yom. So Miktsas Yom Kekula. So she's Shomeres Yom Kineged Yom and she's Tahara. Following so far? What's the kasha? Because that happened first. She was Betara first. She went to the mikveh. She's Tahora. Then she bleeds later in Achinami. So she's now Tamei the second half of the day. Mikanalaba. But she already had her Shomeres Yom Kineged Yom. How does a woman become a Zava Gadola? 3 days in a row. No? Kashi here in Rabbi Yossi? She'll never be a Zava Gadola. She'll always have a Miktsas Yom Kekula and become Tahora. So that's the Gemara's next kasha. El Rabbi Yossi, Zava Gemara Heichi Mishkachas La. How's Rabbi Yossi ever going to have a Zava Gadola? Right? Ah, says Gemara two answers. Bishofa'as, she like hemorrhages out for like 3 days straight without stopping to bleed. Wow. Iba Yisema, Kigon Sharasa Kol Shnei Bein Hashmashos. She sees during Bein Hashmashos of both 2 days in a row. And that way, it straddles 3 days. But the beginning of each day is Bituma. So she doesn't get her Miktsas Yom. You can't have a Miktsas Yom right in the middle of the day. Right? Miktsas Yom has to be at the beginning of the day. Or at the end, if it's the beginning of a Melos. But, you know, it certainly can't just appear in the middle of the day. So she's Shofa'as, or she saw a Kol Bein Hashmashos. So the Mishnah... Well, okay, put that, let's take this one step further. Rashi over there, and this is where it comes to our sugya. Rashi over there in Maseches Pesachim makes the following comment. He says, the kol tchilos hayamim hayu betuma. Why does it matter that she bled bein hashmashos? Because then the beginning of each day was betuma. Dein kan svira klal. So she never got to do a svira. She was never soferis yom kineged yom, shomeris yom kineged yom. And you only need two Bein Hashmashoses. You don't need three. Because with two Bein Hashmashoses, you'll straddle 3 days. Kigon. So Rashi, I'll give you an example. Bein Hashmashos Shal Erev Shabbos. It's Friday afternoon. Yesh Kan Sof Erev Shabbos Utchila Shabbos. Bein Hashmashos Shal Machar Shu Sof Shabbos Utchila Salaf B'Shabbos. So if she bleeds Bein Hashmashos on Friday afternoon and Saturday afternoon, you have Friday, Shabbos, Sunday. Haragim liyom ritzufin. The ain't kan tchilas yom tar sheyal l'sfira. Ulefi hadvarim. And here's the kicker, says Rashi. Leman diyamer miktsas yom kekulo tchilas halayla ola l'sfirasa. If you say miktsas yom kekulo, this gemara is a raya. That miktsas halayla is kekulo also. Why is this gemara a raya that miktsas halayla is kekulo? I mean, the Gemara, if it wanted to come with a case where she could become Zava Gadola, you just need a case where she could not have had a Miktsas Yom. So all you need is that she should bleed before the Yom begins. It doesn't have to be Bein Hashmashos. Why does it be so dramatic? That it pumped Bein Hashmashos, that's when she chose to bleed. That's when she bled. You don't have to say it like that, says Rashi. You could have said a much more realistic case. She bled sometime in the middle of the night. So that day was already started as no good, and your svira can only be from the next morning, but she's already tamei for that day. By the time morning comes, why did the Gemara say that it had to be Bein Hashmashos? Because if she bleeds at night, it would not make her a Zava Gadola. If she were to bleed at night and not Bein Hashmashos, that would mean she started the night without bleeding, and that's already your Miktsas Yom. That's already your Shomeres Yom Kineged Yom. Now, this is a little bit different than Sefirah Shivinikiyim, granted, but the Gemara is talking about Shomeres Yom Kineged Yom, and Shomeres Yom Kineged Yom just means you only have 1 day of Sefirah as opposed to 7 days of Sefirah. And says Rashi, that 1 day of Sefirah could even be at night. And how do we do the mitzvah of Sefirah? What do we do to fulfill the b'tikas? So you could do b'tikas at night. That's Shitas Rashi, the way it's said over. Right? That's the way people darshan up Rashi. So again, so Rashi's teaching that since the Gemara had to resort to the answer that Ri'iyostam happened during Ben HaShemashos and not just like at any point during the night. So you see that if you hold Mitzvayom Kukulo, even if the beginning of the night is clean, it would count as a clean day. This could have huge ramifications on Halacha, obviously. Outside of Hilchas Nida. What about Hilchas Avelus? Right? If Mitzvah Laila is Kula, so Shiva could end. What do? We wait till the next morning, and then they sit after Shachris for a few minutes or whatever. But Shiva can end at night, according to Rashi. Mitzvah Laila. Against the Ramban and Tarasadim. The Ramban and Tarasadim says explicitly not like that. You need Mitzvah Yom. Tosfos, well, before we get to Tosfos, the Mishnah Nida Dafayin Aleph says that when it comes to Tevila, a Zavagadola can be Tovelis Biyom Zayin, but not Bilel Zayin. And a Zavagadola, Nid Shivinakim, should be Tovelis on day 7, just not on night 7. So Tosfos, in Daf Samach Tesam Aleph, and Dafayin Aleph on Beis, says that if you can't be Tovelis at night, then it must be you can't do B'digos at night either. Makes that assumption. That if a Zavag Dola can't be Tovelis at night, because night doesn't count, it's not enough of Mitzvayom, so you can't do B'digos at night either. So Tosus Anida, again, Zav Samuch Tes, points out that a Sviras Laila doesn't count, right? And you don't need Tchilas Hayom, you don't need Tchilas Hayom, because any time during the day would fulfill the mitzvah of Sfira. The Gemara, what's he going to do with the Gemara's with Rashi's Kasha in the Gemara? Just give an example of a case where she bleeds at night, becoming a Zavagadola. So he says, yeah, the Gemara wanted to give an example that fits the Lashon HaKra. How does the Pasuk describe a Zavagadola? She bleeds Yamim Rabim. Yamim Shnayim, Rabim Shlosha. But it's Yamim, it's days. So we'd rather have a case where it's Yamim. So what's the case where it's Yamim? Ah, Bein HaShemashos. So it's not just nights. Wow. So Tosus holds, not like Rashi, that Mitzvah Halayla is no good, right? And therefore Bedikos Belayla also no good. That Sfira is not going to work. Sfira Slayla doesn't count. If you can't be Tovelis Belayla, you can't be Soferis Belayla. That's Tosus' assumption. Now, whether bedikos have to be done during the day or can even be done at night, this machlokas very likely relates to what the point of bedikos are. What was our whole chakira that we've been working with? What does bedika accomplish? So there are two possibilities. So what do we say? What are the possibilities? It's either a kiyum mitzvah of sfira or being mevarech metzias. Make sure she's not bleeding. It's just Mevarech Metzius. So no, say it out. If it's a key mitzvah, Sfira. So it could be that there's a din in Sfira that you need Yamin, that you need days. If it's just being Mevarech Metzius, that she's not bleeding, who cares whether you check during the daytime or nighttime? Blood during the nighttime would ruin a Shiva Nikim the same way blood during the daytime would ruin a Shiva Nikim. Not bleeding at night verifies that there's no blood there the same way that not bleeding during the day verifies that there's no blood. I mean, checking and finding that you're clear of blood would accomplish the same thing. So when bedikos have to be, whether bedikos have to be done during the day probably relates to why you do bedikos. If you say like Tosfos, that it's a kiyum mitzvah svirim, and you need svirim lefaneinu. You need to have the count. And the way we do the counting, we need to have an active count, right? That's how we explain Shitas Rabbi Akiva, in the Mishnah, right? That if you count day 1 and day 7, good, you have 2 so far, so now day 8 becomes day 3, right? Was that Rabbi Akiva? Remember? Right, we had the different, four-way machlokas in the Mishnah. So if you hold day 1 and day 7, so what's the svara that day 1 and day 7 counts? But all the days in between don't count because you need svurim lefaneinu. You need to have an actual count in order to have it count as a svira. So Tosfos would say that it's a kiyum mitzvah svira. You need svurim lefaneinu to some degree. Maybe we're not going to be so machmir that you need each day svurim lefaneinu, but you need an active svira. So it has to be done during the day. But if you hold that it's just a spot check, make sure she's not bleeding, then who cares? It could be done at night also. The Sidrei Tara makes this ha'ara, that that's the basis of the machlokas as to whether you need bedikos aleph zayin or just one. Ooh, Rabbi Chanina and Rav. If you hold, like Rabbi Chanina, that you need day one and day seven, it's because you hold that bedikos are necessary for svira. We're not as machmir as Rabbi Akiva in requiring a bedika on every single day that you're counting, but at least to bookend them. Says the Sidrei Tara. But if you hold like Rav, you only need one bedika, then the din bedika is not a din svira, it's just a spot check. That's how the Sidrei Tara taimas. Yeah, you could argue on that. Furthermore, the Hes Chadas of the Meal Tzedakah is l'chora only according to Rabbi Chanina, that you need Sfirum Lefenenu. But if you hold like Rav, that you don't need Sfirum Lefenenu, this is what we discussed already, right? And if you hold that you don't need Sfirum Lefenenu, you just need a spot check, and that's the whole point of Bedikos. So then maybe the Meal Tzedakah is not correct. So it would follow that if you hold that Bedika on just one day is enough, because you don't need Sfirum Lefenenu, then even a bedikas laila can count. Why? Right, this is exactly it. If you hold that a bedika of just one day is enough, it's because you hold you don't need sfirum lefenenu, you don't need an actual mice sfira, so bedikas laila count, because the bedika is not serving as a sfira. It's serving as a spot check. So bedikas laila is a spot check also. That's a hugely important ha'ara, lahalacha. Lest you think we're just, you know, so far removed from halacha right now, we're just in the world of lamedes. It's hugely important lahalacha. Because sometimes you need to rely on a bedikas laila. So it's important to know that what does it mean to rely on a bedikas laila? Well, I'm associating all the shitos together now. Right? I'm associating the ikar hadid, even though ein lahakam. But the Ikar Adin, that day one or day seven is enough, which is the Ikar Adin, how we would paskin, with the idea that Bedikas Laila counts. So Bedikas Laila is not totally from the outside. Right? Bedikas Laila is in Lamdas very much connected to Bedika day one or day seven. It's day one or day seven, because it's a spot check. And Bedikas Laila would count. This comes up in the following context. We discussed yesterday, 2 days ago, whenever we had shiur, right? We discussed, what do you do about a hefsek tara when you can't get a clean hefsek tara? So one of the eights was he sent it to a bodekas. So a bunch of guys asked me, how many times? Twice a day, every day, you're sending it to a bodekas? That's ridiculous. I mean, that could be very, very expensive, challenging, degrading. It's not comfortable for anybody. So sometimes, a posik might say, send it to a bodekas right around Ben Hashmashos time. Have the bodekas check for the hefsek tara. She'll hang out there for 20 more minutes or something. Another bedikas laila. She won't have to come back again the next day. That will count as a day one bedika, and she'll go back on day seven. That will be a day seven bedika. Because the bedikas laila maybe counts. Not so common, but sometimes we may rely on that. Or more common, a woman calls up, and this happens all the time, unfortunately. As I told you, my Kala teacher told me I should only be doing bedikas on day one and day seven because I'm uncomfortable doing bedikas. Fine. You start with that premise, which is always challenging, and you just hope that the Kala teacher really, you know, spoke to a Rav and really clarified that that's what this woman needs to be doing or whatever. I forgot my day one bedika, and I just did my day seven bedika. Tonight's supposed to be Malel Tevila. Can I go? In Mahakel, right? But maybe you could say, well, wait a second, did you do a moch? If you did a moch, what happened? It's a bedikas laila, because it stayed until after Seis Chachavim. So maybe you could be mitzayip with a moch with a day seven. And the Behuda, Madura Kami Yardaya Simim Membav, says it. And a moch left in until Laila can count as a day one bedika, Sfiras Yom Rishon. So if someone's being somech on a bedika at night, it's not just Shitas Rashi, right? That Sfiras Laila counts. even if you don't hold like Rashi, maybe this has something to do with Mitzvah Sfira. Sfira is just the fact that she has a latent awareness of Shiva Nikiyim. This isn't Mitzvah Sfira, this is the requirement of B'dikos. It's nothing to do with Sfira. The requirement of B'dikos is about a spot check. And that's what B'dikos Laila is good for. Or at least, at the very least, you could rely on the Moch. If, let's say, a woman is going to have a hard time doing a B'dikos Chorim Mustakim. So we're about to learn, we're probably not going to get to it today, but we're about to learn that B'dikos Chorim Mustakim is very, very critical for the Hefsek Tara and Machlokes, but potentially also for Yom Rishon. To do a real B'dikos Chorim Mustakim. And Makom Shoshan Mishdash and Chorim Mustakim, like a real intense B'dika. Say, like, woman can't. She can't do a real intense B'dika. Twice. Hefsek Tara and then a day one. So at least then to rely on the Moch as a B'dikas Yom Rishon B'chorin of Estakin to allow her to get away with a, you know, cheaper B'dika on day one. Let her do a Kinuach kind of B'dika on day one. So you'll get some sort of nominal B'dika on day one, and being mitzvah for the possibility that counts as a B'dika with the fact that she has that she had a Moch at night. So it helps to be mitzaref these shitas. Now, of course, we can't talk about Mixim Kula without at least mentioning that Rav Shechter and Bikvei Atzon and Simin Yad Zayin, we went through the whole piece.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Nogea to this, he points out that Rav Yossi holds Mixim Kula means that we divide the day into two, right? That's Rav Yossi's shita that we're learning about in Sechtzach. It means that there are 2 days that are just packed into one day. You have the beginning of the day when she was, right, what was the case? She was Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom. Then at the beginning of the day she was Tahora, right? It's good, so she's Tahora Legamri. And then at the end of the day she bleeds again. That's like another day. So the day just gets divided into two pieces. And the end of the last day of the Melos is no longer part of the Melos. It's the next day. And that's why a Re'iyah B'Sof Hayom is not Sosa L'Mafreya. The Re'iyah B'Sof Hayom is Mikan Alava. It's the next day. The Rabbanon who disagree with Rabbi Yossi hold that the entire day is still day 7. The Rabbanon would hold you only need Nihugim for part of the day. Mixiyom Kekulu is not a din in how long the day will last. The day's lasting all day. But whatever Nihugim this day requires, you only need for the first part of the day. You only need for a little bit of the day. That's the sheet of the Rabbanon. So Machlokes, Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanon is fundamental to how you view Mitzvah Kula. Rabbi Yossi says Mitzvah Kula is you take the day and you cut it in half and now you've made 2 days. And the Rabbanon says, no, it stays one day, but Nihugim, for the first part of the day, count for the whole day. So the B'dikos of Shiva Nikiyim have to be during the day as a fulfillment of a Safra L'Shivas Yamin. So Svira can only be during the daytime. According to the Rabbanan, that Mikzas Hayom means that you need a Nihug during Mikzas Hayom. Since the Nihug of Bedika can only be during the day, you need a Mikzas of the daytime. But according to Rabbi Yossi, the Mikzas Hayom means nothing to do with the Nihug. I mean, let's assume, Rav Shechter says, let's assume that Sfira has to be during the day. Not like Rashi. That Sfira has to be during the day. But if you say like Rabbi Yossi, that it has nothing to do with Niyug. Mitzayom just means you can take a day and cut it in half. So I could take a night and cut it in half also. And that's why Mitzalayla would work as well. It would follow, says Rav Shechter, that in the Chachmas Adam, in the Kuntras Matzevus Moshe, in Simen Vav, he says that you can even say Mitzayom Kukulo by Avelus, Mitzalayla Kukulo rather by Avelus, that could work out according to everybody. Because according to Rabbi Yossi, you can definitely split the day, even during the nighttime. Right? According to Rabbi Yossi, you can definitely split the day, even during the nighttime. And according to the Rabbanan, how does Mixiyam Kula work? How does it work? What do we say according to the Rabbanan, no?
You just have to do Nihugim.
Do Nihugim available supply by night? Of course. Right? Svira is the Nihug of Shiva Nikiyam. That doesn't apply by night. Nihugim available supply by night. So it should come out that the Chacham Zadim is correct, both the Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan, that Mixalayla should be Kikula. Wow. That's what Rav Shechter points out. And this is major ramifications. Maybe we're not Noheg like this during Shiva, But there are many, many Jewish people that are knowing like this during a certain minhag of avelus that people keep. And of course is Sfira. So when does Sfira end? So for Ashkenazi Jews, Lag BaOmer, but you need Mixayom Kekula. But Mixayom Kekula is only Mixayom, not Mixalayla. Why are there all these bonfires and parties? And you know, where I come from, Rav Moshe Weinberger has 2,000 people singing and dancing with him, right, on the night of Lag BaOmer. I'm not even from a Hasidish neighborhood, right? But they all over the place. Celebrations. What about weddings? The night of Lag BaOmer. What's that relying on? Mixalayla kikula. Mehechi tesi, you can rely on mixalayla kikula. We don't pass like that for. Okay, but maybe if you're going to say with this lundus or from Shekta, I assume this is not really the chesed, but maybe you could say, you know, when there's not probably everyone's kavana when they do it, but maybe if you could say with this lundus or from Shekta, that whichever way you view Mitzvah Kula, whether it's the din in Nihugim, whether it's the din in cutting the day, it should theoretically, it should really apply to Avelis. For whatever reason, we're machmir by Shiva, by the din of Shiva. But maybe for a minhag of Avelus that we have during Sfira, maybe you don't have to be some machmir. Limud Zuchus, that's what that was. That's what we call Limud Zuchus. You could argue with the whole chashmin. You know, this whole discussion, we assume that if you require, that if you need B'dikos Aleph and Zayin, right, how do we say it? Like the Sidri Tari said, if you need B'dikos Aleph and Zayin, that means you really hold, you need Sfirim Lefanein. B'dikos, on just one day, holds that you just need to spot check. You could argue on both of those things. It could be Kuli Al Mulapliga, you need Sfirim Lefanein. And just like bookending it is enough for Sfirim Lefanein, putting one end is enough for Sfirim Lefanein. Or, even more likely, you could argue that nobody holds you need Sfirim Lefanein. If you really need Sfirim Lefanein, you would say that Rabbi Akiva, you would say that you actually have to do a Sfira every day. If you're going to let me do anything less than a Sfira every day, then you must hold that the whole thing is only a spot check. So the whole cheshbon where we're, you know, that the Sidri Tara makes, where we're, you know, plugging in the lamdas to that machlokas of Aleph and Zayin, or just Zayin, and therefore saying, when you're doing a B'dikas Laila, you're not just relying on Shitas Rashi. You're relying on the whole school of Rishonim, which is Rov Rishonim. Let's say you could do a B'dika Aleph or Zayin. So it's not just Shitas Rashi. That whole Lundus is, you know, is what to be done on, what to question as far as that Lundus is concerned. Okay, I don't want to start something brand new right now. Tomorrow, I'm going a little slower on Kufzadi Vav than I imagined I would. I hope I'm not holding you guys back too much in terms of your own learning. Tomorrow, I want to take a look at Sif Vav very carefully. The B'dikas Charon is stuck in, Al Makom Shashar Mishdash, and also the notion of examining that Ramah about examining a B'dika at night. What is that? Sif Dalid? Yeah. The end of Sivtal, the Ramah about examining a Bedika at night. What is it? What's the Ramah actually saying over there? What can't be done at night? The Bedika, the examination of the Bedika, why it would necessarily make a difference? So that's really related to what we did today, I guess. And then, hopefully, by then, I think we'll be ready to get into the 5 days, right? I think that's all that's left in this simon. So hopefully we'll get to all that tomorrow, which would pave the way for Sunday to be Kufzadi Zayin. Okay? Have a great day, everyone.